God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we get into our message for this Easter vigil, and as you can probably tell by the worship service structure, it's a little different than what we'd expect on Easter morning. Easter morning, where we're going to have the trumpets, the choirs, the fanfare music, tonight's the time in which we remember a particular part of the Easter message. So if you turn to the cover of your bulletin, some of you may have noticed the interesting picture that's there. And have you figured out what's going on there? We have Jesus leading a group of people. And right next to Jesus, as he's holding a person's hand, look below that person's feet. You will see sort of the chains of bondage, of sin, death, and the devil being broken. That person's hanging on to another person who's hanging on to another person. And what are they doing? They are coming sort of out of the grave of the earth. This is what Jesus does. He conquered sin, death, and the devil. He leads us out of our own death to life. We began with some various readings. Did you catch most of the readings dealt with water and dealt with death? We go to the first reading of the flood, where Noah and his family were saved, but yet God used that water to cleanse the earth because of the evil, wicked generations of people that were on there. No one was righteous except for Noah and his family. And in that prayer, after that, the prayer was written to describe the Christian church as sort of our ark, our deliverance. Before I leave Noah, I do have to sort of add one little personal note, and you just have to humor me with this. Many of you know I've also have studied a little bit of the Chinese language. And in the Chinese language, there's a great depiction of Noah's ark. Not necessarily described the way you would describe it. It would be two different Chinese characters, one to describe a boat and one to describe a big boat. Now, not being a fisherman, I don't know really that much of a difference between a boat and a big boat. But in the Chinese, the language, they have little pictures and little symbols. And the only difference between a boat and a big boat is not the word big. That isn't how they do things. No, it's what's on top of that boat. And what was on top of that boat to describe a big boat? Plain and simple, eight people. Going back to the ark, they had this story in their vocabulary and they made it part of their words. So that everyone who would see the big boat with the eight people on it would immediately know that, yes, this is how they were saved in a real big, huge ark, carrying animals and carrying people, how God saved the world. There's also another parallel. Take a look in some churches. You will even see the baptismal font having eight sides to it, picking up again this concept of eight. That, yes, we are saved. And how are we saved through the waters of holy baptism? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's go to the next story account from Exodus, the deliverance of the people of Egypt, or the people of Israel through the Red Sea from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Again, God using water to save his people, but also using that same water to kill, to destroy the enemies of God. From the Ezekiel passage, we have a new heart and a new spirit being given to us. That God gives us a new heart, not a hard heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And then the confession of Job. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. What a bold statement to say, even though I know I'm going to die, I know I'm going to rise again. And I will see God with my own flesh. And Job was probably one of the first books written because of the old Hebrew of it. But yet, what bold faith to believe in the bodily resurrection of the dead. To Jonah, preaching to the Ninevites that yes, God was going to destroy them. And what did the Ninevites do? Every single last one of them, they repented. To bring us to the service of holy baptism. If we had opportunity to baptize someone, this would be the time and the place. And there's a lot of churches right now on this Easter vigil who are baptizing people. As people remember the covenant of God, how God has delivered them through sin, through death, and in a couple instances have used water, our church celebrates this wonderful event in making a bold confession, as we did, to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, God works through water. God works through water, first of all, to drown us, to drown our sinful human nature, to drown all the sin within us, so that we are now baptized into Christ. Christ's name is now written in our hearts, and that as we believe and trust in Him, just as He is risen from the dead, which tomorrow we celebrate, so also we also will rise from the dead and have the same bold confession as Job did. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end I will stand upon the earth and I will see my God face to face in my own flesh. So we come here this evening to begin the Easter celebration, to bring joy back to the world who is living in a land of darkness. We come, but we also realize we are not in heaven yet. While we're still on this side of heaven, as our gospel reading for today reminds us, we will be hated by others. Verse 17, Jesus reminds his disciples, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." That same water of holy baptism that puts God's name on our hearts, that marks us now as God's children, we are now adopted into His family. That same event also marks us by the world around us. And the world now hates us. The world now despises us. Now you may be saying, "But Pastor, you know, I haven't really been persecuted for my faith recently. How does the world hate us?" Well, let's put it this way. The Word of God clearly describes two paths, one of the world and one of God. According to our sinful human nature, we want to follow the world. We want to follow the ways of the world around us, to be appeased by men. But God, through working through His Spirit, through His name imprinted upon our hearts through holy baptism, says, "No, now I want you to follow my word." And there's that division, that war within us. The world will constantly try to pull us away from God, trying to tell us that church isn't that important. Studying God's word is for fanatics. You don't need to do those things to be a Christian. The world constantly trying to pull us away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trying to get us to erase that name that God has imprinted upon our hearts. Because it doesn't matter to them, why should it matter to you? But as we go back to our cover of our bulletin, that wonderful clip art that depicts, yes, the chains falling off. We have been freed by the blood of God. We've been freed by the Lamb of God. We have now been given the gift of eternal life. How can we go back to the old ways of sin, death, and bondage? No, we need to remember, as Jesus said, we will be hated by others, by the world around us, by what we believe, what we teach, and what we confess. Yes, living in this country, we may not be persecuted for the faith right now, but our own personal faith gets persecuted from time to time. Whenever we are given into temptation, whenever someone is trying to steer us away from God, in one essence, our faith is being persecuted at that point. And so we remember those baptismal vows. We remember how we renounce sin, death, and the devil. We remember God's glorious promises that He has kept of old and how He promises to come back again. And we say, "Lord, grant me that strength. Give me Your Holy Spirit. Help me to stand firm and say, this is my faith, to be bold and strong on this Easter weekend. To say, yes, my Lord is dead, but now has come to life again. And just as I died in Him through the waters of holy baptism, I also will come to life again in Him in eternal life. There's an interesting phrase. Whoever is born once dies twice. Whoever is born twice only dies once. Let me unpack that a little bit. If we are just born physically, we will die two times, both physically and spiritually. But if we are born both physically and spiritually, we will only die once physically. We know that in the resurrection, we will rise again. For believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is a wonderful day of celebration. Yes, we know that our Lord has raised us from the dead, but our time has not yet come. So we ask the Lord to continue to give us that faith, to help us to hang on to the messages and the proclamation of God's Word, to keep us steady in that faith so that we do not lose sight of God's wonderful gift to salvation, but we hang on to it with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, knowing that within us, that old Adam that was once drowned by the waters of holy baptism, unfortunately is a very good sinner. Yes, his days are numbered, but still within us, fights to have us leave the church, fights to have us leave God's holy word, fights to have us leave the freedom we have in Christ to go back to sin, death, and the grave. It sounds kind of strange. It doesn't make sense. But unfortunately, that's the ways of the world. And we may think, well, if everyone else is doing it, why shouldn't I? The reason why we don't do it is that we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we may be hated by some, but we are loved by the most important God, the only God in the whole world, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who was willing to sacrifice His only Son to die for us so that we could be with Him in heaven above. Taking a look at all the other different religions of the world, what do we come up with? Things that you have to do to appease some sort of God. It's only in Christianity. Do you have a God who says, I'm willing to die for you so that you will live? So on this holy night, we ask God to strengthen us in His Word and with His grace. We come to the Lord's table to receive that grace, to receive that very true body that was once crucified and now raised from the grave, so that also our faith in Him may be strengthened. We come on this day seeking what our Lord provides, salvation for our souls. And we rejoice with all of Christendom as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, you're invited to please fill out your names in the red pew pad.